You are listening to episode number 298 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Yeah, I'm up at Brooklyn, now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm up at Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top, sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee, tell by my attitude that I most definitely from
gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I am your host for this installment, the fearless one known as Bri Bri, also occasionally known as Newsboy, Newsbitch, Newsy. Any of those will really suffice. I answer to all of them. Our illustrious OG, Benjamin, is not with us today. He's off running his hands over Ryu's rippling abs and Chun-Li's thunder thighs, so he will be out of commission for this week. Instead...
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. Instead with us, hailing all the way from Oklahoma, which, how is college football doing down there, John? I don't watch college football, so how are you doing so far?
You had to bring it up, didn't you?
I said I don't watch it. I literally do not watch it. Whatever I did was unintentional.
Okay. OU won. They destroyed Kansas, even though Kansas had to apologize for Snoop Dogg performing at their university the night before for being too risque.
Yeah, didn't he bring a stripper to the field or something?
Yes, he did.
He gets to use the N-word.
Yeah. But anyway.
I mean, they're all about that out in Kansas, I thought. I thought they'd be okay.
We could ask Johnny
my,
next time.
And my Cowboys decided to lose to Texas Tech, so I wasn't too happy with that. But, you know.
Sorry there, John. It really was unintentional. I did not mean to cause you great pain.
You're just getting even for last week, Chummy.
I honestly was not. And honestly, I don't really have any room to joke because my team's been getting jostled by these fucking lower tier high school teams for the last couple of weeks. Even though we've been winning, it hasn't been easy and it's been bullshit. But you don't want to hear about the Patriots. Also joining us in the shadow of the convention center where they're hosting New York Comic Con, our one and only native dweller, Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
I just want to clear something up. Oklahoma has colleges?
Well, I guess we do.
I think they're all Aggie schools. They teach you how to, like, farm shit.
We have ag schools. We have high technology schools. In fact, one of the top engineering colleges in the country is Oklahoma State University.
Yeah.
What was that?
How to make baskets.
Go. Go swim in a pumpkin.
We are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. This is wonderful. We are your source for all things Marvel related, be it TV, movies, comic books, video games, occasionally pornography on occasion. Taser, we still expect an update on that coming from you at the next
episode. I'm lazy because I'm from New York.
I know you are.
And I'm a black guy.
I feel like we wouldn't need to urge you to watch pornography. So.
Yeah, find some Thanos on Gamera action and go from there.
Hey!
Callbacks that you don't know about because we edited that shit out, hopefully.
Bitches.
Yeah, hi, all!
So, in case you missed it last weekend, we had the New York Comic Con, as I mentioned. Taser, who was, as he said, naturally lazy, did not act as our street correspondent for that one, even though we asked him nicely to.
Bastard.
I know. Government job, government salary, minimum wage, minimum effort. I get it.
I'm a welfare baby.
Government job, government salary, government cheese.
I'm on the government teat. Yeah.
So we'll be doing a bit of a roundup from all the news that's been floating around New York Comic Con. Some of it will have come from before. I freely admit that. However, for the sake of, you know, streamlining this process and making it easy, it's all going to be under sort of the New York Comic Con roundup banner. So
Before we get started with that, did either of you two see the costume that A-Train made?
Yeah, I didn't recognize it. Who was he?
He was Keith from Voltron.
Keith from Voltron.
Yeah, playing Keith from Voltron. Okay.
No, he actually made a full-on costume. You know what? Kudos, man. That was actually a pretty bang-up job. You know, I would have been Hulk times 7 if I'd have made a costume, but you know, because I'm me and my fat ass. But nah, his costume actually looked pretty good. You know, so yeah, thumbs up, dude.
Hey, good on you, A-Train. We hope you had fun out there at New York Comic Con. You know,
he always does.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's where. Yeah. I mean, he hits on all the cosplay boys out there, right? That's how that works.
Hello.
Hey, yo.
You know, all the Conan the Barbarian cosplayers and like the Brother Voodoos and, you know, all that stuff.
Who in their right fucking mind would do Brother Voodoo?
If it was old-time costume Brother Voodoo, I think he'd probably go for it. Just
hey,
be like
who doesn't love Brother Voodoo?
Jeez.
Who doesn't love Brother Voodoo? That's all I'm saying, you know? Okay, so shockingly, most of the news we have for you is actually comic book related, which hasn't been the case in a while. Normally we're talking about Marvel Studio stuff or TV stuff. So to get some actual comic talk going, it's nice. So let's dive right in, shall we? First and foremost, top of the heap, the Wolverine is getting his own ongoing yet again. It's coming back, as everyone pretty much expected it to once he was brought back from death. So Wolverine will be written by Benjamin Percy, who did the adaptations of Wolverine the Long Night and Wolverine the Lost Trail, which are those podcast stories they did. I don't know if either of you listened to those, but they were pretty good. I enjoyed them. But also tying into that, Benjamin Percy will be writing X-Force for Hickman's little new Dawn of X line of comic books. And taking over art duties will be Adam Kubert and Victor Bogdanovic, I believe it is. I'm not sure who that last
gentleman is. You just got my interest by mentioning a Kubert. So.
Yeah, Adam Kubert will be doing primary art duties for the book with Victor Bogdanovic alternating, I think it is, or at least doing some pages here and there. So, but yeah, that's that was the first big real ongoing announcement, is that Wolverine will be getting his own, you know, ongoing again. And he's the first, I think, to get his own solo ongoing out of the Dawn of X stuff that Hickman's doing. So it'll be interesting to see how that sort of crosses over, because as mentioned, X-Force, written by Benjamin Percy, also written by Benjamin Percy, will also feature Wolverine. So he'll be in both books. So Benjamin Percy's kind of taken the reins of the Wolverine character for the time being. So, but yeah, John, you said you were kind of interested based on Kubert. Any other gut instinct on this one? Or
Other than it just, you know, I really wasn't going to have any interest simply because it's all the X stuff has been so out there.
Yeah.
Even for me. But I like Adam Kubert, and he has done runs before on Wolverine, so I like his version. So I will give it a try just because of him.
Fair enough. And I don't know what you've been into. I'm not sure how much DC you guys were reading, but the last thing that I remember Benjamin Percy writing that I read like a good chunk of was he did Green Arrow over DC, and he did a damn good stretch of that book and did some real good stuff over there. So he's got my vote on that alone, and I'm usually not a Wolverine guy, so that you might chalk me down for that one as well. Taser, any initial thoughts on Wolverine?
Only that, Jean Grey's in this book, right?
Not as far as we know, no. She'll be in X-Force, which is the other book that Ben Percy's writing.
Because, I was pretty sure that, Wolverine was on both teams that Jean Grey was going to be on. You know, because I remember when they showed, the covers for each of the new titles, it was like, yeah, Wolverine's here and Jean Grey's here, and Wolverine's here and Jean Grey's here. Maybe Wolverine finally gets his wish. I don't know. But
maybe.
I mean, honestly though, I don't care. I really don't. You know, You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I know. Well, I mean, Jesus Christ, they've actually kept to it. He hasn't had his. There has been Wolverine ongoings, but Logan has not had his own Wolverine ongoing pretty much since before he died, I think. So, you know.
Really?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, he's been back, but it's been like old man Logan or all new Wolverine with Laura Kinney instead of Logan himself. So there's been Wolverine, but he hasn't been center stage.
He hasn't been solo.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right.
Good Lord.
Pardon me. I apologize.
They dropped some new news on the incoming one-shot spinning out of the Marvel number 1000 and Marvel number 1001. The one-shot will be released in December 2019, and contributors will include Al Ewing, who is writing Immortal Hulk right now, Dan Slott, who is working on both Iron Man and Fantastic Four, and Donnie Cates, who's taking over the Venom and the Absolute Carnage event going on right now, and will be illustrated by Humberto Ramos, who was most known for his Spider-Man run a little while ago. They've also shed some light on the Masked Raider character, who will be kind of showing up, and that he'll be kind of a central figure. Yeah, well, apparently they're teasing that it is a character who has existed in the Marvel Universe before. So whoever the mystery character is, we've likely seen him in one book or another. And also described the event as something of a whodunit mystery, trying to figure out who murdered a specific person. They did show some pages from the book at the convention, but nobody was able to place who the murdered person was off the top of their head. They did show him outright, but no one was able to place who the person was. So I guess that for now remains a mystery.
So basically what they did was they made the Marvel version of the question.
I guess that depends on how they use him. To me, it almost felt... Well, actually, no, that comparison doesn't hold water. But I guess you could say that's true. I mean, given the power set that we've, you know, expounded upon before in previous episodes, I'm not entirely sure how that would, you know, how that'll shake out with him running across all these different characters, because allegedly the Fantastic Four will be involved in the story, you know, as will the Hulk, who has a role to play, and Venom is obviously going to be a big part of it, I guess. So all the cornerstones that these writers have kind of working or they are working on right now will kind of show up in some capacity. So I'm not sure who it'll be, but I mean, I don't know. I hesitate to say that, and I've said this before, I'm really resisting the urge to call it the next generation of Battle Scars, that really shitty story that introduced Black Hank Fury, because that's what they did. They teased that this person is one of the most important figures in Marvel, and they're like, he's Nick Fury's illegitimate son, and then they just gave him a haircut and had him grow a beard, and all of a sudden he's Samuel L. Jackson now, and that's... So I'm really, really, really holding out hope that it's not how that one goes, because I'm really interested, and the writing credibility on this one seems to be through the roof. So hopefully we'll see, but I don't really know. Anybody else got any particular thoughts on that before we move on to the next item?
I'm good.
Actually, I'll probably check it out because it's a hero that we all know but haven't seen in a while, and new stuff and stuff and things. It's Sentry all over again. So,
yay.
You know, it's the Blue Marvel all over again.
Yay.
So, you know, it actually sounds kind of interesting. So I'll check if I remember, because Lord knows I've been forgetting a whole lot of this crap. I'll check out at least the first issue. That's the least I can do. If I
more than what I will.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, so they are relaunching Guardians of the Galaxy.
Again. This is what, its fifth?
I think so, yeah. Something like that. The new number one will drop in January of 2020. It will be ongoing. Donnie Cates will write the first 12 issues, but they've already announced the next writing change. With Al Ewing picking up the reins after that with issue number 13, which Donnie Cates doesn't grab me. Al Ewing, who has been doing knockout work on Immortal Hulk, definitely gets my attention. So that being said, I'm not entirely sure what the status quo will be. I think they've mentioned something about Star-Lord not being a member of the team. We'll see if that holds water. I don't know. Do either of you have any strong feelings about the new Guardians reboot or Al Ewing and Donny Cates being the writers?
I don't care about the writing team. I just wonder, what Avenger will they shoehorn into this to make it a draw? You know, it's like, Iron Man's going to be on it. Yeah, we got to pick it up now.
No, I'll look forward to it. I'll see what they decide to do with it. But I will say that having Al Ewing in it will make me want to check it out. And is, you know, and Donny Cates, I've seen he's pretty good. So we'll go from there.
Fair enough.
But there's only so many times I can be excited about yet another relaunch. Fuck. Anyway.
I can't get into this ever since they went and de-lethalized Gamora, you know? I mean, I understand that somebody looked at her and went, hey, her outfit's a little too sexual. Okay, let's give her full-on leggings and arms. Okay, fine. But then they went and made her more, like, girlfriend, you know?
Just make her, like, Thanos, like, a second ago? Or did I miss that?
No, she was Requiem.
Okay, but that's fairly recent. I'm talking about when they did that first relaunch after that first movie, you know? And they stuck Iron Man in it, and then they just went and totally changed her look. And it wasn't just her look, it was her personality. I mean, right then and there, that book was out the window for me, you know? And they haven't done much better. Having her go nihilistic, you know, for a period of time, it's too little too late, and it's not her, you know? I just... you know what I want? Why don't they make it so that, you know, Groot and Rocket Raccoon finally, you know, stop pussyfooting around and declare their love for each other? Just do that. So that'll be like, you know, some real change.
Interspecies erotica? Okay.
Well, you've got Wanda and freaking Vision. Tell me that's not interspecies.
No, that's a woman with her batteries.
Okay.
Just saying.
He's got three different vibe speeds, and he takes out the garbage.
And he can flow through, if you know what I mean.
Did you just make a Star Wars reference?
No, I said he can flow through, as in he's intangible.
I thought you were making like a Force reference or something. Yeah, I got no idea where you're going with that.
He could force through? That would be painful.
Hey.
He can kind of, you know, phase through and then get solid. Anyway.
Nobody gets as rock hard as he does.
I mean, here's the thing for me, though, which I don't really understand, is that right now they probably have the strongest lineup of the Guardians of the Galaxy they've had in a while. You know, Groot is talking, so there's that. But yeah, he's also apparently the leader now, alongside, you know, Beta Ray Bill and Phyla Vell and Moondragon. I'm curious to see what Donny Cates and then Ewing will do to kind of follow that show up. That'll be interesting to see.
Moondragon's in there now? Okay, I thought she was back.
She was there before with Phyla Vell, you know, and that was actually a decent run, but it didn't last too long. Because they had her kill Moondragon, and then Phyla died, and, you know, it was like...
Was that back with the Abnett and Lanning run? Because I don't think they've been around since then. Yeah, Jesus, wow.
Moondragon's been dead and alive more almost as bad as Jean Grey.
You know, he's not entirely wrong.
Yeah, but Jean Grey gets all the pomp and fanfare because she's a part of the X-Men. She's not like other girls, you know?
No, Moondragon was a new defender, for crying out loud. Yeah, the hair thing.
Also not a lesbian, which points against. Points against.
Nah, that doesn't matter.
Moondragon's bi. Don't go.
Badass women are badass women. I don't care whether they're gay or straight. You know, a badass woman's a badass woman.
Still points against, even if she is. I apologize for mischaracterizing her. Still points against Jean Grey for that.
Oh, against Jean Grey?
Next on the docket, they have announced the next story arc to be released in Venom, beginning with issue number 20. The next major story arc will be called Venom Island. It seems to be a take on, as they said in the press announcement, it's a take on an old Eric Larson Spider-Man story where Venom hunted him on a remote island.
Yeah.
With... Oh, you've read it then.
I remember seeing it, yeah.
I don't.
Okay, so you didn't read it? Can't give any sort of intro?
Dude, it's been too damn long. It's been almost 20-something years since we did that story.
This is why we keep you on the show, you realize. You know, you two, you and Taser, you're like the Encyclopedia Britannica of this show for my young ass who doesn't know a damn thing that happened beyond 2005.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. I remember the good stuff, and yes, I do remember the occasional piece of crap that was so bad that, you know, like Blood and Thunder, and that stuff. But the other stuff that was my, you know, like fair to middling, I don't remember.
Parents.
And if nothing against Eric Larson, I thought he was really good on Spider-Man back in the day.
All right, fair enough.
Just saying.
I can't fault you for that, but. Yeah, this apparently will also feature Venom taking on Taser. You might get a kick out of this. The Maker, the evil Reed Richards that's hanging out in the Marvel universe right now. Apparently, he has a hard-on for Venom. He's been in his stories quite a bit, which I don't really get, but I don't know. I don't really pay attention to what's going on in Venom,
so
it's kind of
Venom
beyond
right
my...
now? Is it still
Eddie Brock?
Oh, he's
Eddie Brock
back to
is
be
Venom.
In Venom.
He is back to me as of Absolute Carnage and sort of the preceding events leading up to that. He is, he is Venom.
Okay.
And
so, although Hulk is kind of, you know, taking over that spot.
I mean, there's a lot of Venoms out there right now, symbiotes or rather. But I get your point. I get what you mean.
And Flash is.
Don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, just as an aside, Mark Bagley will jump on for art on the Venom Island story.
Okay,
arc.
Well, then I might check it up.
Interesting.
Yeah, apparently Donny Cates kind of wooed him into doing it, so by all means, you know, why the hell not, I guess. Okay, Dan Slott's Iron Man is getting crazy. John, I know you were reading that for a little while. Did you continue with that, or did you drop
it? No, I dropped it like a hot potato.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
His Fantastic Four I love, but his Iron Man was like, bleh.
All right, fair enough. So Tony Stark's Iron Man series will come to an end with issue number 19. In its place will come a new series, Iron Man 2020, which will pick up the adventures of Arno Stark, who will be Iron Man moving forward. Who, in this continuity, I guess he's Tony Stark's adopted brother. He's not like his ancestor or something like that. So, yeah, take from that what you will, but they seem to be doing whatever it is they're doing over there with Philip Holm. They got Ultron coming down the pipe and Tony Stark and Dan Slott's teasing like Robot Revolution and all that shit. So if you're into that sort of thing, by all means, give it a shot. But it looks like they're going to be jumping on the Arno Stark train for a while. I don't really know what will happen with Tony. Tony has been going through like a crisis of the self, I guess, as of late. He's been questioning whether or not. Well, no, what he's positing now, and this is sort of done out through the like congressional hearings and stuff, is that the U.S. government and even Tony's being posed the question, given the fact that he's like, you know, stored his mind and rebooted his self and gotten new bodies and done all this stuff. The question has arisen as to whether or not he's actually still Tony Stark.
Yeah,
you know, Look, just because you don't like philosophy doesn't mean you can't appreciate what they're doing over there. So
no,
it is. Okay, easy. Contain yourself, Taser. Bring it. Come on, man. It's okay. We're gonna get you through this. Okay, it's gonna be all right.
This is why I don't read Iron Man.
Fair enough. Arno Stark, though, he was from 2099, wasn't he?
No, he was before
that. No, 2020.
He was 2020.
Oh, he was from 2020.
Yeah.
Okay. For some reason, I thought he was 2099.
It was close.
fair enough.
He was from, it was a one-off during, what was it, 81, John? I think it was like 81,
yeah,
82.
Somewhere.
And, Machine Man. It was Machine Man.
Machine Man.
Yeah, Machine Man. His I think it was his first limited series, and it was stories of Machine Man in the future, and Arnold Stark was the son of Tony, but Arnold wasn't the nice guy, or, you know, some bullshit, and it had something to do with Jocasta, whatever. And because he was in the future, of course he had the gears for the shoulder things, and it was just wow. This is the
yeah. They're bringing back the gears and the shoulders too. They've included it on all the artwork and stuff. So sorry, buddy. But hey, speaking of 2099, awesome segue, Brian. You fucking rocket this. They're bringing back 2099, it would seem, in some capacity. Yeah. We've spoken about this before, but we have a little more detail now. 2099 will be spinning out of Amazing Spider-Man number 33 and 34, written by Nick Spencer with art by Pat Gleason. It will revolve around Miguel O'Hara returning to the present, presumably because whatever's happening is affecting the future. It's crumbling or whatever. And depending on your take on the 2099 line, you may be okay with that sort of future just crumbling away and never coming back. I don't know. I don't judge. But following that, those two Spidey issues. Also in November of 2019, we'll have 2099 Alpha, number one, which is the precursor to whatever this next sort of line is going to be. That will also be written by Nick Spencer with art by Victor Bogdanovic. And then we'll also have, get ready for this, Conan the Barbarian 2099, number one, written by Jerry Duggan, illustrated by Roger Antonio. It will pick up with Conan the Barbarian being alive in 2099. Wielding a giant techno flaming sword. So, did either of you have any particularly strong reaction to 2099? Either of you read or dig into that?
I loved Spider-Man 2099, and
obviously he's the only thing that's really survived completely from that.
I was reading Spider-Man 2099. I mainly read X-Men 2099. Because back then in the early 90s, I was an X-Men nerd. Now I hate them filthy muties, but that's beside
the
I did read the first issue of Ravage, and I checked out Punisher 2099, which wasn't too bad. But the best one, I think, of the bunch was probably Doom. Just because he totally upended everything, as Doom would.
I didn't read any of it, but I thought the most interesting thing to come out of that was Ravage, because he was a garbage man.
Pretty much. And they also had Fantastic Four 2099, too, which
I didn't care.
Was odd.
Fair enough. So no one's real excited for 2099 coming back.
I'd be more excited if Marvel UK came back.
Yes. Fair enough. Bring back Captain Britain.
Let's not say we did. Although to be fair,
Captain UK.
Captain Britain is coming back as part of the Dawn of X with Excalibur, one of Hickman's X-Men started events.
And bring back Megan.
Pixie, you mean?
No, Megan. Captain Britain's wife, who I think divorced him, I think.
Really?
I didn't even know that was a thing. So.
You really should read Excalibur. How's such a good book?
I'll pick it up someday. But I'll tell you what I don't need to pick up, and I'll tell you what property is also coming back, because apparently nowadays it's just picking stuff up and bringing it back. They have announced a new series, Marvel's X, which will be a prequel to Alex Ross's Earth X, if any of y'all ever read that.
Oh, come on.
I've heard that was good. I have not read it, and that's...
I thought it was pretty decent.
I've heard that. I've heard that. I just haven't. You know, that's my fault.
There are people who say it's good, and then there are some people who say it's cheap cash-in on Ross's part to get the Marvel version of Kingdom Come, which I don't necessarily agree with, but there are people who say
that.
Was
the internals done by Alex Ross?
No. No, it was not.
He just did the covers.
Yes.
Oh, that sucks!
Yeah, no, he wrote most of it. He was the right... He was the writer behind the scenes. Yeah, I know. That's what ticked me off too. Was I got the book and I flipped through and I'm like, oh, this was me when I was a youngin' before I knew how to read between the lines. And I'm like, oh, he didn't do any of the artwork. Well, that's well, at least I definitely won't mistake it for Kingdom Come now. So there's that. But yeah, they are doing a prequel to Earth X. Supposedly, how it'll be, how Earth X came to be from that reality, or how, you know, if you've read it, you know what I'm talking about. If not, it's basically a world where everything's kind of gone to shit, though not necessarily. Like they set off a massive Terrigen bomb, like in the atmosphere, which is kind of actually what happened with Inhumanity. So they're kind of bringing back that old chestnut. That's interesting. There's a massive hive army from Madame Hydra of all her drones and stuff. There is a Red Skull who has psychic abilities. Wow, the more I say this, the more it is just coming into picture. They've already done a lot of these storylines outside of Earth-X continuity. Wow, this is
bad.
No, I'm being completely serious. This is like, as I'm saying it, it's like, holy shit, they've actually done a lot of this shit already. Like, how are they going to... They're going to be accused of aping their own shit. This is crazy.
There's not being accused of true.
No, that doesn't happen
ever
at all.
I'm just waiting for another Atlantis Attacks, you know, storyline.
I don't even know what you're referencing.
Oh, it's not that... It's not good. It's not a good thing.
Hey, quick, I don't need a history lesson.
Just a quick summary. Back in the day, late 80s, early 90s, they used to do crossovers in the annuals. Atlantis Attack was one of those, Annie. It was a shit storyline. We'll leave it at that.
Serpent
okay,
Crown.
Okay, fair enough.
Give me the Serpent Crown.
Again, kind of like Red Skull with Cosmic Cube, Serpent Crown is the same thing. Avoid it like the fucking plague.
Although, I will say this, though. I didn't mind that, like, the summer annual storyline. That was fine because it was kept to that. You know, the regular books would go out and have whatever storyline that they were doing. The annuals is what carried, like, the big crossover shit. And that was actually fine, but then, you know, it's like, hey, this is boring. Let's make big multi-part things that take fucking forever.
Okay. I feel like I have a more grounded understanding on Atlantis Attacks now. Thank you for that. And by that, I mean, I didn't understand a fucking word or anything else said. But moving right along.
Moving right along. Good.
Dan Slott has teased some stuff upcoming in Fantastic Four. The Fantastic Four storyline going on right now called Point of Origin. It's sort of, or actually, I want to hesitate for a second. John, have you read the, like, what was the last issue of Fantastic Four you read, if you don't mind asking?
Well, it was, right before that issue where Ben just went all nut shit on it. I think it was 10 or, I mean, I can think 10 or 11.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
In that case, then, if it's okay, I'm just going to bypass the Fantastic Four for now.
You can spoil it.
No, I don't want to do that. And to be honest, there's plenty of other stuff to talk about anyway. So no big whoop there.
Okay.
If only because also I've read the last Fantastic Four issue, and a lot of what I'm talking about happens in the issue directly. So it's a lot of setting up spoilery stuff. So I'd rather not.
Okay.
Anyway, Jane Foster, Valkyrie, Al Ewing will take over co-writing duties as Jason Aaron winds down his tenure on the Thor books. So we'll get Al Ewing writing Valkyrie for a little while. Fuck you, okay?
I'm worthy.
You're not worthy. You're not worthy to lick the boots that he uses when he wears when he writes this shit.
I am worthy.
At least you admitted shit. Look, I have all respect for Jason Aaron. Don't get me wrong. He does have some wonderful things that he did in Thor. He just was on it too long, and it got too convoluted with, you know, company interruption, if you know what I mean.
I'm not worthy.
I'll leave it at that.
Because sure I had thing. A thought. I'm not worthy.
But Al Ewing taking over. We like Al Ewing on this podcast, as established multiple times.
Yeah, so
he's
awesome.
He's currently writing one of the best titles they have.
Immortal Hulk is arguably one of, if not the best Marvel book going right now.
Isn't
absolutely.
His father Patrick?
Sorry?
Isn't his father Patrick?
You are such a...
Boo! Boo! His get better material, you bitch.
His father is not the missing link of the NBA. Now stop it.
Hey!
You have to admit he does look like it, but that's beside the point.
Wow.
But just because he's tall.
I'm not talking about the tallness. We'll leave it at that.
Oh, my goodness. Speaking of Thor, they are passing the mantle, and they announced this
again
at New York Comic Con. They did. I shared the first cover image in the chat with y'all just above
the
meme.
Is that what that's supposed to be? I thought that was fan art.
No, that is
Thor.
Ew!
Shut up! Let me talk. It is going to be written by Donnie Cates, who, as mentioned, he does Venom and a bunch of other shit. And it'll be illustrated by Nick Klein with covers by, I believe that's Olivier Coipel right there. The book will focus on a cosmic-centered Thor with a new costume and adventures in space and beyond, rather than focusing on Earthbound stories. So, hey, we get that.
I do not like that cover. That cover looks garbage.
I actually liked it.
It's
Oliver Coipel, dude.
Man. Yeah,
I really like it. I think
it looks
cool.
Like all Coipel's art too, but that cover, ew.
I think it looks cool.
Okay,
I think it looks cool. And you know, I will say I don't like the early '80s headband. You know,
yeah, the crown
Castle
a little
of Elrond,
weird.
You know,
and you what's know. Wrong with his eyes? Are his eyes huge, or is that just something on his head?
That's something on his head.
Ew. I don't like it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I just don't like it.
Right. Fair enough. I mean, you're allowed to be wrong. That's cool. We all are from time to time. You know. But John, as you know, as you made no secret of hiding, you're kind of excited to see someone else take on Thor for a change. Yes.
Well, it's time. And like I said, I'm not going to try. I mainly trashed Jason Aaron mainly to piss on Brian, but. But he has had some clunkers during his reign, and I'm like I said, I'm not going to try to attribute it to him alone. Marvel themselves kind of meddled with shit, but I am looking forward to
what if we did a female Thor? Yeah, but I got this story going that I'm writing. But what if we did a female Thor? Yeah, but I got this story going. Yeah, but what if we did a female Thor?
Yeah. Now we got Valkyrie instead, but we'll just leave it at that. So instead of Thor, see, it's like this. I'm glad we're getting Thor and not whore again. That's all.
Hey.
Woman Thor, folks. Now, I'm not trying to be rude otherwise. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to give it a shot. And if it's anything like I'm hoping it might be, I'll be on board.
Now, I want to know, why do we have to have a female Thor again?
Well, we're not having a female Thor. It's just Thor. I mean, there's Valkyrie, sure, but no, female. Jane Foster's like off doing. She's Valkyrie now, so she's not Thor.
Yeah,
so.
You mean they're not bringing back Brunhild to play Thor too?
Brunhild's dead, so there's
like
that.
Like I said, we're talking Asgardians. How many of them have come back from the dead?
But she's like in Valhalla in Valkyrie. It's like a point where Jane Foster goes to the realm of the dead to speak with her about what's happening and then leaves her there. I don't think they can kind of chase that back, but granted, I've been wrong before, so who knows? I mean, for all I know, Donny Cates will bring back Eric Masterson next time around, so who the fuck really knows
that.
Anything?
I wouldn't mind that. I love Thunderstrike.
Oh, good God.
Now, you know what?
Would.
Thunderstrike wasn't awful. It was fun because he was low-rent Thor.
Hurt the Thunderstrike series is that Tom DeFalco wouldn't let him actually be more of a full-fledged, you know, hero. He had to constantly struggle with finding new abilities, and I'm like,
well,
come on.
Wrong.
I love it, and Tom DeFalco's run on Thor is one of my favorite runs on Thor.
But I, you know what, honestly, I think the problem there was he was still just Thor clone. And, you know, you have Better Ray Bill. So
he's a Thor clone, too, but that's beside
right,
the point.
Right, but Better Ray Bill is a good Thor clone.
Well, yeah, true. But anyway, but yeah, I'm looking forward to this new title, and I just hope that Cates doesn't go, you know.
Fair enough.
He does have a legacy to fight up against. I mean, God Butcher and God Bomb still hang up there.
Oh boy, do
I won't argue that. Not arguing that at all, but there, you know, not every writer, not every artist does everything perfectly, or at least to the, you know, to the level that you like. And
certainly not the longer
say,
they've been writing it.
Yeah, and honestly, Jason Aaron, yeah, that one decision he made, which made for interesting storytelling, I'll admit that. I still have issues with, especially his reasoning for why it got done in story. I just, you know,
let's
I
just
I
drop that.
Yeah. So I'm I'm not going to go into depth on it. I'm just saying that was my thing. All right. So, you know.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, either way, it will be the end of an era soon. Jason Aaron, once he wraps King Thor, will kind of be stepping away from the book.
Yeah.
And obviously, he's doing less and less Thor-titled stuff. I hope he goes back and does more indie shit, because I've been waiting for his second volume of The Goddamned from Image Comics, and I really want that to come out. That is so fucking good.
Cool.
Yeah, so we'll see. But yeah, Donny Cates stepping up in a big bad way from Venom to Thor, so we'll see how that goes over. It was announced at New York Comic Con that you will be able to play as Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, in the new Avengers video game coming out from Square Enix.
Will you be able to play as her superhero self or the student?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You'll be able to play as her superhero self. And also they've been dropping videos and all kinds of stuff of all kinds of alternate costumes and stuff available for every character. They've confirmed Joe Fixit. They confirmed King Thor as a costume for Thor. You know, they're just kind of throwing everything they got at the wall and seeing
loot
what
boxes.
Sticks. So, I mean,
loot boxes.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what comes of it. Because as far as I can tell, I mean, I don't know. I'm not as jazzed for this game as I feel like I should be. And I don't know if that seems like a problem.
No, because
so.
You're not the only one. A lot of people are just kind of like, eh.
I mean, I'm more excited for fucking Pokemon coming out next month. Jeez.
But that's always the case, so.
I do. That is true. I'm always excited for Pokemon.
Sword and Shield, yay!
Hell yeah! I already got my starter picked out, man. I'm gonna wreck house, okay? Hashtag Grookey Gang.
Hashtag gangbang. Okay.
No, you miss her. Get the wax out of your ears, boy.
Stop talking like a Wigan. We'll see.
Hey.
Hashtag Misty is ready.
I'm not talking like a wig. I'm talking like Flavor Flav. That's just how Flavor Flav talks. It's not my fault. I'm white.
No,
okay?
No.
Therefore, a wigger.
You're way too coherent for a flavor. So, yeah. <I'm>
Thank you.
I just about choked. Thank you.
They dropped the trailer for season 3 of Marvel's Runaways. Jesus Christ, we still have not done a single thing about Runaways on this show. Has anyone seen any of it? Has anyone?
I have.
Anyone?
I have it all stored, and I haven't looked at any of it.
Jesus. Yeah. Well, they're starting season 3. That's going to air premiere on Hulu on December 13th, and it
we
will feature crossing over of Cloak and Dagger from the Freeform TV show going on right now.
What that show was a thing? I thought they just did like 2 episodes and it went away.
They just wrapped like season 2.
They did a second season?
Dude, you're acting like Ben with the fucking Agent Carter show.
No,
okay?
I honestly didn't know they did a second season. I swear to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really
they did they did season 2 of Cloak and Dagger, yeah.
Oh.
And now they're crossing over with season 3 of The Runaways. Which is
that's
like,
not bad. That's
yeah,
not
no,
bad at
hey,
all, no.
They're both young, and they're both kind of on their own sort of not quite adult but not quite children platform. So it works. I mean, I could definitely see it working out long term. I guess we'll, you know, I have to actually watch The Runaways too because I haven't seen a bit of it. So, you know.
Okay, so that'll be something that we do around December, you and I and in 3 years' time, John will do a review of Runaways.
Yeah, when he finally gets it broadcast into the brain of his local raccoon and he runs it out like a movie projector.
No, when it finally hits DVD and he can get it. He can pick it up then. I finally owned my old copy.
They'll have canceled both of those series by that point and have started a new Power Pack show that we'll be looking to review at that point.
Ooh,
I would actually like to see a Power Pack show.
So would I.
Hey. Yeah, no, I ain't joking. I'm being dead serious. I mean, Power Pack just teamed up with Future Foundation. It was pretty rad in the comic books, that is. But
yeah,
you know.
No, I don't want the Future Foundation. I just want the 4 siblings.
Well, they need to do Fantastic 4 first.
No, they don't. Because Pack didn't have a. Didn't
oh
have...
no, no. I meant before doing Future Foundation.
Oh,
but
okay.
I understand you don't want it. You would rather Power Pack over
yes.
any of that, I guess. So.
And then toss in Hugh Jackman for a special guest star in Wolverine Surprise.
Taser, I'm a little concerned about how much you want to see a bunch of kids in spandex on screen.
That actually happened.
I know.
Katie Power
I'm
met
sure.
Wolverine. And he was, as a matter of fact, that was one of the most brutal covers for Wolverine ever. And Katie Powell said, "Come on, Mr. Logan, let's go into the park." Good issue.
Okay, fair enough.
I think that was done by Barry Windsor Smith, too. I think that was.
Jeez. I have no idea, dude. Okay, so the last bit of news we have is not actually stemming from New York Comic Con, although some of it might. Jesus Christ. Hey, remember when we sat here and we talked all about how Sony and Marvel Studios weren't going to make nice and we might not see Spider-Man back in the MCU for some time?
Yeah.
Guess what? They mended fences, those two, and Spider-Man's back in the MCU, everybody.
Yay!
Whee! Biggest drama that never even mattered anyway in the Marvel Studios universe. So
does this mean we're friends with Sony and Disney again?
Everyone's friends again, so much so that as part of the new deal, it's been observed that Spider-Man may appear in Venom 2 due to the new working out of the deal. So.
Okay, everybody, back in the pool!
Hey! I did not watch Venom. Did any of y'all watch Venom?
I
think Taser, you saw Venom, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
I got it on Blu-ray. I bought it used, and it was meh.
You already bought it used? You already found it used?
Oh, God. It was used before, when it came out.
That sort of movie, bucks, that movie is just born into the universe used. but yeah, hey, you know, just like everybody thought they would, eventually they realized they could make more money together than apart. So they've agreed to terms on the new deal. The new deal will see Peter Parker back in the MCU as played by Tom Holland, who reportedly made a personal appeal to both Marvel Studios head and Sony CEO to sort of mend fences and get the gang back together. And they are allowing for flexibility moving forward with Peter Parker appearing in more Sony movies and properties and things of that nature. So. Anybody got any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, who didn't see this coming?
Nobody? Everybody saw this coming? Wow, gee. I wonder how that happened.
The ability to make a whole lot of money. Nah, that wasn't going to happen at all.
I'll give respect to Tom Holland. He apparently was a major player in getting things mended. He probably slapped him aside the head and said, "Look, we made a shit ton of money. Don't you want to do that again?"
Right. Cause
Tom Holland is such a fucking sap, though.
That
I mean,
5'3" Brit, I'm sure he was slapping people upside the head going, "Hey, look,
he probably
make
saw all the people on social media making fun of Sony or making fun of him being like, he's going to suck now." And he's like, "I don't want to suck." And so he did it out of self-preservation, if I had to guess.
And he's like, "Hey, if you guys don't do this, I'm going to go do an Uncharted movie."
Oh,
still
Christ.
Is.
Don't even get me started on that fucking bullshit.
You got to be going into the next Jumanji, but that's all.
So Spider-Man's back, kids. Yay! And as I said, it never even mattered anyway, because it never got to the point where they had to plan around it, and everybody made happy and nice and sang Kumbaya. So,
If it means more J. Jonah Jameson in the MCU, I'm happy.
I could agree with that.
Yeah, I've heard that actually. Yeah. You know, if we can get J.K. Simmons back, by all means, do it.
Parker!
Well, I think he will.
Wow, that was actually pretty good. Pretty good, T. Pretty good.
It comes from a place of anger.
Now, see, you'd say about me talking like Flavor Flav, but then when you talk like J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson, all of a sudden it's okay.
Yeah,
this is that reverse bullshit.
No, see, the problem is you're trying to sound uneducated. Whereas I'm sounding angry.
Which is not really that much different for you, but that's what's up.
Hey!
Yeah, hey! I mean, he's right.
Well,
I'm not wrong.
I do anger. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. Whereas.
You are an angry, angry little man. You are.
And
indeed.
And Brian, you don't have the right flavor to do Flavor Flav.
Fair enough.
Because of your palate.
Yeah,
boy. Not because of that. But because
John, that was actually pretty good.
No, it wasn't. That you know,
really
for Oklahoma maybe. But you know, Brian, you're too You're too well versed in the English language to do play-by-play.
Okay, fair enough. I'll go I don't know. I'll go smoke some hard drugs and see if I can speak to Brigitte Nielsen about something.
You have to fry quite a few brain cells to do that.
I wonder what Brigitte Nielsen is up to these days. Okay, moving right along. We are segueing. That's the news. That is the news for this week, ladies and gentlemen.
I
want to
put this out there. I caught Rambo Last Blood a few weeks ago.
Why are we talking about Rambo?
Because old man Sylvester Stallone, I swear to you, if they ever do old man Frank Hansel, because I think that, didn't they do that once? Wasn't there one book?
They actually, yeah, they did that a couple times, yeah.
Okay.
Different storytellings.
If they ever do an old man Frank Castle, Sylvester Stallone totally has that. Okay?
Yeah.
Suffice to say, when we actually get to the point where Rambo is killing guys, because that's what Rambo does. Rambo puts people to sleep. But this was personal for him because Rambo lost somebody that was young and he saw grow up, and she ends up dying due to various things. Okay, not going to argue about whether it was, negative against Mexicans or anything else like that, but he lost somebody that he cared for. And his revenge, the brutality with which he seeks it out and delivers, the setup for everything that he goes through to get it, and then the one last person that he vents on, because that's really what it was just applaud-worthy, because he ends up catching this person, nailing them against the wall with arrows, a la Hawkeye, so that they can't move. And then he takes, the big old Bowie knife, stabs them downward right in the sternum, and then
owie.
Pulls it down towards their midsection and rips out the heart. But the look on his face when he did it, that was old man Frank Castle. I swear to you, if you ever happen to catch just that one section, you don't need to watch the movie, just that one section, and as you look at how he carries himself. Yes, Sylvester Stallone is a very old, well, not very old, but he's an older man. He's like, 60-something, close to 70?
No, he's in his 70s.
Okay. He still carries himself like he's in his 40s. He's still got a physique on him. I'm not joking. This man could totally play an old man Frank Castle and would own it. Would own it better. I'm saying it. He would own it better than what's his name from the Netflix series?
John Bernthal?
Yes. He would own it better. So I had to put this out there because I'm sitting there and I'm watching this and I'm like, oh my God, this. Oh, wow. I was blown away, So, and this isn't me saying go see the movie. I'm not saying that at all, because the movie was actually kind of disappointing. But just his portrayal in that moment, the rage that he was just purging himself on when he killed this guy. Yeah, he sold me on it right then and there, man. It was great.
Okay, fair enough. And Taser, I'm going to let you keep rolling, because as we segue into the reviews, I'm going to have you lead us off with your review of Ghost Rider number one. So why don't you go ahead and take it away.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm reviewing Paul Walker number one.
Hey!
Beat me to it. You beat me to it.
I had to get one in.
Right. You know how old that joke is? Literally, it's as old as Paul Walker having died.
Yes, and it
doing. And it's still no. It's still funny to me.
You're the only one, John. You're the only one. But you're both fucked up individuals. So
thank you.
Just move on with the book, then.
Hey, at least we don't live in Massachusetts anyway. So this book is Ghost Rider number one, and there's a bit of a status change that I wasn't too aware of because Old Man Gigi, when did Johnny Blaze become the King of Hell?
Have no fucking
It
clue.
Happened it in the, an the event with Doctor Strange, I believe it was called Sin City or something like that. It was in the wake of the Hydra Cap event thing. Remember where Las Vegas got like bombed or whatever? Mephisto tried to establish a foothold and turn it into a kingdom of hell. And so what happened was Johnny Blaze set himself up to be killed and sent to hell. And then while Mephisto was on Earth, Johnny Blaze was in hell and he usurped the throne from Mephisto. So it's like a bait switch.
Okay.
So,
that would explain a certain part because, okay. So the book starts off with one demon about to sacrifice another demon to open up a portal into Earth. And
you know, as you do.
Yes. And, you know, there's like a whole horde of them just like, come on, let's get it done. Come on, through the portal. And before the first guy, the one who actually, one of the two who performed the ritual could jump through themselves, they're impaled upon, you know, Ghost Rider's chains. And you see Johnny Blaze! And he's got the flame halo about, and he's actually got, like, pointy crowns. So I'm like, oh, that's different.
Darth Maul-looking motherfucker.
Shit. Outfit's a bit different, but you know, it's nothing too unrecognizable. Looks a little more like Danny Ketch, if you ask me. But he's got a bunch of people that are working with him, and they're trying to keep demons from escaping through the portal. They're not entirely successful because some of them do go through, and they kill a bunch of people in this kitchen, and I guess you know they pull through who they could pull through, but you know, Johnny steps through and he assumes his normal visage, although he's barefoot, and he's just kind of like, okay, well now I've got to go find out these guys who escaped, la 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 la. Meanwhile, Danny Ketch, he's opened up a bar and he's in the middle of a fight, and he's, you know, kind of beating on some guys, and his old girlfriend comes by, and apparently his mother died, so she's, I'm just here to check up on you, Danny. He's like, well, blah, 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 you know, get out of here, I'm doing fine, whatever.
Man,
so,
the dialogue's gotten really lazy.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of point to go into too much. His mother died, and his mother died during that one of the absolute carnage things, and apparently, as we find out later on, during her funeral, the spirit of vengeance forced him to change into Ghost Rider. So he's like really pissed off. He's through. You know, he can't get rid of the spirit of vengeance, but he's tired of it ruling his life. So however it happened, he got some money and he opened up a bar and he just wants to be a barman. You know, he just wants
Hulk to just want to be left alone.
Yeah, exactly. In Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, you know, because
Brooklyn,
called The Fadeaway. Interesting title. So his barmaid, who's kind of banging. You know, I like the way they gave her this look, kind of short hair with like an orange bang. She looked kind of like that chick from Gen 13, the little tiny one.
Okay.
Right.
Sure.
You know what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah.
Like
I got
her
you.
With glasses, and I'm like, and he, you know, excuses himself, and he goes outside, and he goes after this demon who was cavorting around, who must be one of the escapees from the hell portal. And he, you know, you to hear him tell it, he'd been fighting the change, but this thing just got too close, and he couldn't. You know, he didn't want to change in front of the barmaid, so, you know, he goes outside, whoosh, vroom, and, he fights a demon. He ends up diving himself and the bike inside of its mouth because he couldn't give it the penance there. He runs into Johnny, who, hey, how you doing there, Danny? And, you know, he
Aren't they brothers?
Yeah, I was about to get into that.
Okay,
after
fair
they
enough.
Take out the demon by blowing it up from the inside, which, you know, graphically was kind of messy, they go back to Danny's bar, and, you know, they have a very somewhat cordial conversation where they refer to themselves in that way, and I'm, wait, how are these guys related? You know? So that's what I was going to ask you about, John, because I think you might have read a little more than I have in the past couple of years.
That was during, they revealed that like in the late 90s sometime.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like right after the Midnight Suns.
Oh, I didn't read Midnight Suns. All right.
Yeah, I missed it too. And I found out they were brothers. I was like, what the fuck? Minus my French, but you know.
All right. Well, yeah. Danny wants nothing to do with why Johnny's back. Johnny lets him know straight up that, you know, I did what I did because I had to, blah, blah, blah. They segue to the other side of the portal where one of Johnny's demon guards is guarding the portal, and he's immediately killed by a being called Lilith with her female demon crew because, you know, of course, she's a female, so she's got to have all females because reasons. And
Do they at least look like slutty or something?
No. No, not at all. I mean,
lame.
Imagine kind of Lily from the Munsters, and then you have they're off color. They're like green skinned, you know, and they're riding scooters. I that's the look. Two of them look like bikers. The other one looks like she's from. What's her name from Speed Racer, the girlfriend Trixie, and the other one...
Really?
Yeah, I'm not even making that up. And the other one, she's got, like, lavender hair, but they're all, like, lime green skin. It's a thing. And they're against Johnny because he's not the legitimate King of Hell. That title, of course, belongs to Mephisto. Segue to where Mephisto is. Mephisto is in a jail being watched over by Wong, which I did not know. I thought that was fucking hilarious. You know,
I was unaware of that either.
Yeah,
so
yeah. He's in a. It looks like I don't know what to call this. It looks like a giant a magma stack. And it's his prison, and Wong is guarding it. And I mean, literally, it's just this one page. He's talking. Wong doesn't say anything, and you know, he says, "Hey, you feel that, Wong? The ground has shifted. Ah, a war is coming. Ooh, oh, oh, oh." You know, so it's like, oh, okay. So foreshadowing. and Johnny. Johnny leaves Danny's bar following some guy who had been in it. He follows him to his home. He breaks in, and you find, you know, the guy was a demon. And the guy was like, look, I did my time. You know, I've been punished for a million times, and I can't go back. I'm tired of that. I can't I get forgiveness? Please, it hurts. You know, all of that shit. So, you know, Johnny, of course, is like, no, I don't think so. You know, come back now. Get over here! You know, all of that. And that's really it.
May I have your attention, please?
Is that Mephisto, King of Hell?
No, that's Johnny.
Johnny.
What is it? Mephisto. Somebody's giving a dialogue that... Danny, after Johnny leaves, he goes to visit his mom's grave, and he's visited by, I'm not sure if it's her body or probably her shade, and her shade tells him that Johnny's you know, becoming corrupted by the power, and, you know, he's overstepping his bounds and everything else like that, and he's got to take him out and this, that, and the third. So, you know, all of this was mostly set up for what's to come in the book, you know, with, you know, this new dynamic, which doesn't seem bad, it, you know, not at all. Also, there were some other pluses to this book. There's a 2-page spread of all the other different types of bad afterlives in the Marvel Universe. You know, there's Hell, there's Limbo, there's Niflheim, there's the 8th City. I've never heard of this place, but it's apparently from something to do with Kun Lun, because they mentions the immortal weapons. And the ruler of the 8th City is a Chang Ming. And the place can only be opened with the combined chi of the immortal weapons from each hidden city, and thus it remains locked for many years. Some crap like that. Then there's the below place, the one that we talked about before we started the show, which is where the one below all. Ah. And his hordes of demons are kept behind the green door. For those who don't know, the below place is where the Hulks are kept. Because apparently people who go Hulk are demon touched. That's the only way to put it.
They're you make it touched. Sound so wrong.
It is wrong. But, you know, that's whatever. There's a place called Summiness. I don't even know if I pronounced that right. Thought to be of the Splinter Realm, Summiness is ruled by the powerful demon lord Thog. Yeah, okay.
Sure.
Yeah. There's the Dark Dimension. There's Hades. There's the Brimstone Dimension, which is where Azazel and... you know, father of Nightcrawler, that's where he rules, along with Nightcrawler's other brethren. Nightcrawler's the good one, though.
Of course he is.
And
we'll get to something funny about him in the next my review, though. That's actually something kind of funny.
Okay. And there's another, I think it was like 3-page story called The Badlands, The Caretaker Chronicles, written by Ed Brisson and Juan Figueri. I'm hoping I pronounced that one right, too. So, it's some woman out in the desert. Doesn't say what desert, but it's out in the Badlands. She's riding her motorcycle, and she's riding it to some grotto, which is apparently a library. And, you know, the torches light themselves, and she's walking through, and you know, when my grandfather was caretaker, he had a similar library, but he died and it burned, transferred all of its knowledge to the Ghost Riders and the role of caretaker onto me. But these books, I thought I already knew all there was to know about the spirits. I was wrong. And she pulls a book off the shelf and opens it up, and stuff shoots into her eyes.
Woo!
Knowledge! And really, that's the end of that story. The next page is upcoming in Ghost Rider. It's a 1-page art piece with the Lilith character and her whatever the hell they are. Belasco, Danny and Johnny at the top, Mephisto on the side, and then what I'm guessing is Lucifer. It's a angel, or it's a being in white with black wings, so I'm guessing fallen angel or something on the bottom. And that's the end of the book. This was a very interesting read. I enjoyed it. I'm curious enough to maybe pick up a second issue. I'm curious enough to pick up a second issue because it seems kind of interesting. I should probably have done this in the beginning. This was written by Ed Brisson.
Yeah.
But, you know, since I don't normally pay attention to this stuff, you know, that's what it was. I enjoyed this. I would say go pick it up. I'd give this an even 4 Warriors out of 5. You know, it's different. It's in the Marvel Universe, but it's not an Avengers book. You know, it's got the occult feel. So if you can handle that kind of stuff, then yeah, this book might be for you.
Okay, fair enough. Good stuff. Sounds like Ghost Rider is roaring back into the mainstream, so to speak. I'll see myself out for that terrible pun.
You know, but what I do hope they do at one point is they bring in the one who drives the car.
Oh, Jaime? No, not Jaime. I'm thinking of Blue Beetle.
John's favorite one.
Robbie Reyes, that's
it. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I hope they bring him into it because, you know, if anything, you know, it'd be interesting to see how he fits into the whole Ghost Rider hierarchy, because apparently there's some kind of hierarchy. So, you know.
Yeah, I never quite understood what his thing was. I knew he was, like, apart from all that stuff, which I don't really like, but, I mean, whatever. I mean.
John, do you have any explanations? Because I know you like the car guy.
I didn't catch where he actually met Johnny Blaze other than they realized he was different from the others.
You fail.
So, of course I do.
Okay, as long as you admit it.
Bite me.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
Jesus Christ. Okay. You two go get a room. I'm going to go ahead and start my review. I will be reviewing the latest installments of House of X and Powers of X. From Hickman's X-Men relaunch. So, shall we begin?
Yes.
Which, by the way, before we begin, Taser, did you ever follow up on that? Did you dig down a little bit more into this stuff as of yet, or are you still kind of getting yourself together in order to tackle that?
I'm getting myself together in order to tackle it.
Okay, fair enough. Well, the last issue of the opening House of X, Powers of X drops next week, so you should be all set to roll by then.
All right,
you know, whenever you get your books, I don't honestly know. So, so the first issue in sequence is Powers of X number 5, and the issue opens with Xavier talking with Forge, and he proposes a improvement to Cerebro, and the improvement is that Xavier will be able to take the psychic consciousness, personality, the memories of those who, you know, sort of are mutants, and he'll be able to, in essence, save copies of them, store copies of them, so that they can do crazy shit like bring them back to life should they ever die. And this is to be achieved through Forge's technological know-how, Cerebro, and Shi'ar technology, which Xavier has called in a favor in order to get his hands on. So we got alien technology, mutant know-how, biological components like Krakoa and all kinds of other crazy stuff. This is the opening of that. We then cut to both Charles and Eric approaching Emma Frost in Paris. Emma, at this point, is the leader of the Hellfire Club, or I believe it's called the Hellfire Corporation now, or something along those lines. Basically, they're bringing her into the fold because as she is an entrepreneurial spirit, as much as she is a mutant, they are going to request that she be the one, the exclusive importer, exporter of the Krakoan plants that the mutants are using to barter their way into statehood. And the way that Emma puts it pretty bluntly is that you want me to be your East India trading company to the world for mutants. And they confirm that, yes, that is in fact what we want. In addition to that, they ask that despite the fact that she just got rid of him, they want her to bring Sebastian Shaw back into the fold, as he will be the guy who is sort of running black ops under the table. He'll be the one who, in addition to Emma, you know, visiting every port and sort of delivering these mutant goods, Shaw will be running operations in order to shepherd mutants out of unfriendly countries, so to speak. So he'll kind of be like an underground railroad type thing. He'll be overseeing that. There's a fun little cutaway gag where Xavier approaches Namor and asks him to come join them at Krakoa. And Taser, I think you'll get a kick out of this because Namor looks at them and goes, you know, it's really kind of you to ask me that. But the real reason you're here, I'm having to guess, is because you finally realize that, you know, your dream won't work because the humans will keep tearing you down. And that at your core, you're truly better than them. And Namor looks at him and goes, it's good that you finally figured this out, but let me ask you this. Do I strike you as someone who's just now realized how much better I am than everyone else? And do you actually think I believe that you feel that way too? And tells him to run along and to come back when he actually really needs it. So he doesn't quite buy Xavier's new sort of isolationist kind of stance. And tells him to come back when he wants to actually do serious business. So just kind of brushes him off. So Namor is still Namor. And I have to imagine that Hickman just loves writing Namor because he finds a way to fit him in every fucking way. Like, he loves writing Namor. So
yeah, we saw how he treated him in New Avengers.
Yeah, yeah, there is that. But I will say that Namor seemed to get the better of T'Challa at least once or twice, if not all the time. And not when it truly mattered. But,
well, yeah, when he, like, washed over Wakanda.
Well, I don't. What are you talking about? Something happened there? What happened there?
You know, when he waved at Wakanda.
Hey, everybody! Surf's up.
And he knows us black people can't swim.
Hey, you're the most technologically advanced nation on the planet. You, exactly. You know, you think Wakanda can't swim?
That means that we don't have to learn how to swim.
But that just makes me go back to the when we talked about the UN vote to legitimize Krakoa. Imagine if Namor was actually aligned. I feel like the vote from Wakanda would have gone from no because we don't need anything to no because fuck you, you have that asshole sitting over there.
Yeah, I can definitely see that happening.
Oh, really? You got Namor? Well, fuck you guys.
That's a what hard I say no you. Right now. Not even a question.
You crazy? Oh, no? God. Okay. And then we move on to House of X number 6 of 6, the last House of X issue. The issue opens with Xavier, Moira, and Magneto all gathered together, and it circles back around essentially to where the series started. It tells the story of, well, it kicks off with Charles's message to the world, explaining, you know, what they're going to do and what they're offering humanity in order to be legitimized as a nation, and that he now realizes that the dream he dreamed for all these years was a lie because of all the violence visited upon his doorstep by humanity, and that now if you want our love and our protection, you motherfuckers are going to have to pay for it. And you're going to do that by legitimizing us as a sovereign nation, giving us our rights and our freedoms, and we're going to give you these plants that'll make your life better, and all you got to do is leave us the fuck alone. And that's all you got to do. And that's essentially the opening move. It's Charles Xavier's big dick swinging. And it jumps from there to the from prior to the start of the story, start of this series, to the present moment. And this intros us to the Council of Krakoa, the sort of the ruling body for the time being. And this is who we have as the council. There's 14 members. So, Professor X, Magneto, Apocalypse, Mr. Sinister, Exodus, Mystique, Sebastian Shaw, Emma Frost, Storm, Jean Grey, Nightcrawler, Cypher, and Krakoa. And you'll notice that's only 13 people. That's because one of the members of the council is still undecided. They've been redacted from the minutia that Hickman likes to insert in there. That being said, though, Emma Frost was, in the previous issue, she bartered her services for hand-picking who that seat would go to. So I presume that will be followed up on over in Marauders, which will be Emma Frost's sort of ongoing series over there. In addition to that, they do a little breakdown of who the field commanders are for the X-Men. It's not important to this story, but basically the ones who are the commanders in the field are Cyclops,
Gorgon, Bishop, and Magic. So those are the guys who are calling the shots on the battlefield.
Gorgon.
And Samurai sword swinging dude who will turn you to stone just by looking at you from Wolverine, Enemy of the State, if you read that one.
No, I didn't, but okay. All right. Fine.
Yeah, he's a mutant. He's kind of a he's been a presence in the Wolverine stuff for a little while. He was in Secret Warriors, which is what Hickman did a while ago. That was his first big ongoing out of Marvel. So he likes him as well, but he hasn't really used him that much.
Gorgon, Ares' son?
No, that's Phobos.
Right.
Gorgon was taken by the Hand, and he's been kind of used in that regard. So, but now he's with the mutants. So there's that.
For now.
Well, for now, yeah. I mean, I will say that the piece appears to be tentative, so we'll see what actually happens with that. But yeah, that being said, we move on to the first meeting of this council to decide the first laws of Krakoa and also to pass judgment on Sabretooth. Because Sabretooth just keeps getting fucked over.
Again.
Yeah. Well, because see, what had happened was way, way back in, I think it was House of X number one, Sabretooth, Mystique, and Toad were sent on a covert mission into the United States. They were stopped by the Fantastic Four. Sabretooth was taken prisoner, but then his release was kind of cajoled by Emma Frost and Krakoa. But essentially what happened was Sabretooth kind of went off the reservation in terms of what the mission parameters were, and he killed a few people that weren't supposed to die. It was supposed to be a stealth op in and out. And unfortunately, he kind of took it on himself to kill some people. So they're there to pass judgment on him. And it is almost an entirely unanimous vote where he is voted to be exiled. And what that means is that they can't kill him because they know that resurrection exists. They have the technology to do that just themselves. So they know, you know, that could potentially come back to haunt them. And they won't send him out into the human world because one of the laws they pass is that no human can kill a mutant because they deem it as one of their own killing a lesser species or someone who can't fight back, essentially.
Wow, so, really? Seriously?
Well, hang on. I'll get into that a bit more, but I want to lay the groundwork of what they're thinking when they exile Sabretooth. So what they do to Sabretooth is he gets dragged down into the depths of Krakoa and held in permanent stasis. He's kept alive, but his mind and his body are for all intents and purposes deadened to the world. So he is a non-factor at this time. And they straight up say, we might bring you back one day to try to earn back your place, but for now you're off the table. So there he goes. And it's like I said, it's a unanimous vote. And then again, they dig down more into the laws of Krakoa. One of the things they discuss is the human mutant thing. And they freely admit in their talks that these laws are open to change, and because they're almost certainly going to have to fight the humans at some point. It's an inevitability given what they're trying to undertake. So unless they've been like provoked or something like that, they're not really going to engage humanity all that much. The finer points of it, you can go ahead and read, but that's the long and short of it. And in addition to that, a couple of the other laws that they settle on are Krakoa is sacred ground. There's no blood to be spilled. There's no property rights on Krakoa. There's really nothing that anyone on Krakoa owes you, and since Krakoa is like a living, breathing thing, you know, there's nothing really that you can claim on Krakoa, and as long as you don't fuck with Krakoa, everything will be fine. But they sort of deem it as holy ground, kind of, or at least you respect what Krakoa is. And then what I like is that there's a lot of back and forth between all these characters. I really recommend you going to take a look at it when all this is said and done, because it's a lot of back and forth between all these people. Mystique pops up, though, and she kind of needles her son a little bit. You know, she's like, surely Kurt has something to offer, you know, given his devout belief in a higher power or something like that. And the first thing that Kurt suggests, God bless him, is make more mutants. So, yeah, Kurt says, get to fucking, I guess. You know, that's his throwdown.
Was he looking at his mom when he said that?
He was not. Actually, weirdly enough, he quoted the Bible when he said that.
Okay. So
No, he quoted, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it.
And from that, he extrapolates, we need to make more mutants. Simple as that.
Yeah, as he said that as he's looking around for Megan.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think she's allowed on Krakoa, unfortunately. So
probably not because she's Fae, but Psylocke is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually,
well,
yeah, I can picture that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, you know what? It's not the weirdest thing that's ever happened. Not the weirdest couple that's ever happened.
True enough.
But yeah, essentially the first laws laid down on Krakoa are this. Make more mutants, murder no man, respect the sacred land. Those are the laws as they're written in the book. So after they take care of that and they dispose of Sabretooth for the time being, we then cut to what I lovingly call the party scene from The Matrix, but for the X-Men. Do you remember in The Matrix movies where Morpheus kind of oversees that giant fucking rave and everyone's vibing and dancing and partying and all that shit?
In the second one. Yeah, it was
yes,
one.
Yeah. You kind of get that same thing happening here, where all the mutants are just having a massive lit party, fireworks. There's Allison Blair, who is being fed by Siren and Banshee, all this sound, so she's doing all these light shows and stuff.
Whoa. Banshee?
Yes, Banshee.
Isn't he dead?
Yes.
Okay.
Kind of. Well, okay. That's sort of yes and sort of no. I know he was brought back recently, but he was tainted by the apocalypse seed. He was made like a horseman of the apocalypse.
Okay.
I don't know the specifics of what happened there, but I'm assuming they stripped that out of him, considering apocalypse is now on their side. So, you know, that's my guess. I don't really know what happened. But it's funny because then we cut to a pretty happy picture of Logan holding a six-pack with his arms slung over the shoulders of both Cyclops and Jean Grey. And
threesome!
Well, here's the thing. He hands the six-pack off to Scott, takes a couple beers for himself, and then he wanders off, just kind of leaving Scott and Jean to themselves. And then, from there, Scott gives a beer to Jean, or gives her two beers, actually. Jean then goes to Emma and offers her a beer as a peace offering. So this is a real kind of... Yeah, this is like a real orgy kind of vibe going on right now. I don't know what to make of all this, you know?
I know what I'm going to be making of it when I go to sleep, anyway.
Hey! Oh, God. But yeah, actually, one of the funnier bits is that while all this is going on, you just see Apocalypse, like, in the woods, just sitting there to himself, not doing anything. He's, like, meditating or something like that. He doesn't care for the partying, I guess. So.
Oh, so he's pulling the John Johns.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just kind of sitting. He's just kind of sitting this one out, you know.
No, the Piccolo. He's doing the Piccolo for Dragon Ball Z.
That's a good. I like there that analogy. Go. That's pretty good.
Oh, that sounds.
It's interesting.
Okay.
And keeping in mind, there is one issue left of this story left to tell. There's Powers of X number 6, which drops this Wednesday as we're recording this. So, what happens in that issue and how that sort of sets up the status quo? You know, how it helps set up the status quo, because, you know, we already kind of have the status quo now where Krakoa is a legit nation. We know the first few laws. We know how the sort of government kind of works, but we don't really know, I guess, what the larger scheme of things. Well, I guess we know what the larger scheme of things are, but how they're going to now go back out into the world and sort of, you know, be what they are. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out, because they're now intense and they're all for all intents and purposes, they're all foreign agents now, because they are of Krakoa and they don't answer to any, you know, human laws.
They've renounced their nation of birth, I guess you could say. They're no longer living on any a landmass ruled by a human governing body.
Nope, they're on a landmass completely governed by mutants.
And I'm guessing it's out in international waters?
It is in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
There you go. So, yeah. Wow.
Although, actually, drawing upon that for a second, I thought it was really funny, because
in the Powers of X issue where they approach Emma and Emma sees what they're building. She's like, oh, good, you're going to put them all on an island again for them to get the next time. Because, you know, the first time wasn't clear enough for you, Eric. Eric, you fucking idiot. Not like we haven't done this already, you know? She, like, bites his head off. It is too funny.
Isn't that kind of like what happened to them in that Dark Phoenix movie?
I mean, you're not wrong.
But okay, all right.
But yeah, so that's kind of where things are right now. And as I said, there's one issue left to go, but it does a pretty decent job of setting things up to what's to come. So I'm interested to see where it'll go, not just in the last issue of Powers of X, but outwards into X-Men and X-Force and all that other kind of, you know, all the other ongoings they have going on right now.
What disturbs me about his take and how he's handling the franchise moving forward?
What's that, T?
They're disposable. You know?
Meaning what?
They're clones.
Yes, I suppose. So, well, I would characterize that as there's no fear of death now.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, if it's a matter of, oh, well, we kind of lost, Kitty Pryde is back, right, with them?
Yeah, she is back.
Okay, so Kitty Pryde and, let's say, Rachel and Kurt and, I don't know, let's say Scott happened to wipe out on a movie. Oh, damn, we lost them. Okay, set up the vats, grow some new ones.
Yep.
And we'll see them in, like, an hour or two.
Yeah, and, that's basically what they did two issues ago. They did that.
I always have issues with that because, you know, it makes it so that death doesn't matter. You know, when you lose somebody in this fashion, well, it's just a temporary inconvenience. You know, I'm not a fan of the revolving door of life and death in comics. I think if you're going to kill somebody, it should mean something and should be that. That's it. You know, I don't believe I've never liked the idea of, well, let's kill them, take them off the table for a little bit and then come to some contrivance to introduce them back into the story. And they'll be like, yay, they're back. Death is like the end, full stop. But I understand that, you know, I'm not writing it. I'm not in control of any of it. But when you resort to this kind of thing, it's like, okay, you know, you know, you don't really care now because you know they're going to be back, and they'll be back within the same issue. So, as a story hook, that bothers me. You know, now the whole Xavier is no longer playing, you know, mutant Jesus, but kind of more along the lines of Magneto, just not as, you know, psychopathic and homicidal. That's interesting. You know, I'll give you that.
It's definitely more of like an isolationist, more of a pragmatist approach to things than he has been.
Yeah, he's like, you know, that, you know, I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried and y'all just keep fucking with us.
Which is a fair assessment of how the X-Men have been.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, hell, they spent like the last 20 years basically deconstructing Charles Xavier by going, oh, remember back when all this was going on and Charles did this? Well, here's what really happened. And, you know, I'd say it kind of culminated when Scott killed Charles.
Yeah.
But, you know, here it's a Charles who just kind of, you know, realize that my way isn't working, so I need to come up with something different, you know, that doesn't totally go against what I was working with before, but is more liable to get results and hopefully still accomplish the goals that I've been working towards without, you know, everybody, you know, dying. That's interesting, but I just... You know, the clone thing bothers me. That really does.
I mean, I would argue that it's not the clone, but that's just nitpicking at this point. Honestly, I don't want to go down that road. Rather, the approach I'll take in sort of trying to justify it is that
for the longest time now, death really hasn't mattered in comic books, regardless of what the context is. So I will say that at least Hickman is being upfront and honest about how he's handling things. And I honestly, I don't think it'll come into play that much with what he's doing. I think he recognizes pretty quickly it's a cheap trick to kind of pull over and over again. But again, by that same token, I would argue that given what they're able to do and how they're able to do it and what all these powers are, it'd kind of be silly for them not to explore the possibility of, well, does death really matter for people like us who have these abilities? You know, I would argue that at least he's being kind of more upfront with what his intentions are in terms of how he's dealing with a potential death of a character. I would argue that at least.
Okay.
So. All
right. Fair enough.
But yeah, that being said, you know, it's another solid 4 out of 5 for me on both counts for both books. Like I said, last issue of Powers of X drops this Wednesday at the time of this recording. So I'll probably chime in on that one, although I will say up front that for those of you listening, X-Men number 1 will be our book of the week in 2 weeks' time. So we'll give you the first crack at that and let you know what we think about the first X-Men book under Hickman's new regime, so to speak. And I will be there to translate for any and all who are lost with the minutia, because I know it can be heavy-handed, but I'll try and help out as best I can. But that being said, that is going to do it for us here at the Mighty Warriors Theme Marvel Podcast. And before we go, we have some responsibilities. You can find us over on Facebook at the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast, where we have all the news coming out of every possible outlet we can get our hands on, singled into one single feed for you. Our complete archive can be found over at thewarriors3.wordpress.com. So if you want to go back and listen to episode number 1, you can do that and hear how rough we sound. So.
We can't. That was done before 2011.
Ah,
remember,
okay.
We're missing the first 2 years.
Are we really?
Yeah, it's the 2009 and 2010. The earliest goes up to February 2011, I believe.
Okay, well, if you want to go back and listen to us talk in 2011, you can do that. The rest, you're kind of SOL. So there's that.
But there was a lot more of us then. Yeah, we sounded a lot different too.
Yeah, we've come a long way since then. We've come a long way. I am on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at No Mr. Powers. That's at @NO_MR_POWERS. And you can also subscribe to us on the Apple Podcast app. We're over there. And if you're feeling generous, maybe you could leave a rate. Or you can rate us favorably and leave a kind word and reviews. We'd really
appreciate money.
That.
Leave us some money. We want
money. Works
money.
Too. Hell yeah.
Or Apple Card. We want Apple Card.
Taser, do you have anything you'd like to plug before we go, sir?
Yes. I forgot what it was.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. If you remember it, we will have you drop it next week. How's that sound? Or a couple weeks.
No. From. When I remember it, I'm going to come back on Skype, call you, let you know, and then I'll be able to go to sleep.
Are you just going to stay up all night trying to remember
yes,
what it was you wanted
because
to
say? Yes, because I am that pig-headed.
Well, you know what, man? More power to you. You do you. All
yay,
right?
I get to do me.
So in the next time, you'll hear from us randomly whenever Taser remembers. But in the meantime, I am Bri-Bri, a.k.a. Fearless. That's Taser. John was here, but he left. And Ben will hopefully join us in 2 weeks' time. So we will see y'all in a couple weeks where we will review X-Men number 1. But in the meantime, in the words of our illustrious leader, remember to stay marvelous. We'll see you next time.
Later.